Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, we want to deal with, did you hear the announcement? Did you hear the announcements? Announcements are very important. They provide people with important, vital information. Some announcements are more crucial than others. An announcement could provide you with information for your life or to save your life. That's why we always tell our children, will you just listen? Because if you don't listen, you might not get the information you need to prevent some danger or hazard in your life. Some of us are so busy, we either don't listen or don't hear the announcement. Sometimes we don't have time for it. We already know what they're going to say because they say the same thing every Sunday. No, they don't. Sometimes an announcement is of such a nature that it instructs you to change something, move something, or watch out for something. You ever like going to work and you already know by the time you get off, it's going to be a thunderstorm, downpour, and you see somebody getting drenched while you got your umbrella up. You say, I wonder if they heard the news this morning. I wonder if they heard the announcement this morning. You know, they coming out here with no umbrella. They didn't forget it. They just didn't know. The sun was shining. They had no idea that God was going to wet them today. Have you ever experienced receiving an important announcement? And the announcement is for everyone. And you could tell by the person's action or lack of action that they did not hear, receive, or understand the announcement. They used to have announcements about, there's been a bomb scare in the building. Please move out of the building, down the street, across the street. We have folks standing in front of the building, smoking a cigarette, where the bomb was supposed to be. Did they hear? The announcement, you know, some of us are going to do what we want to do. Some of us, we think we are invincible. If the bomb blows up, it won't get me. I know bombs got names on them. I'm sorry. Yeah, bombs got names on them. So you ask them sometime, or you're wondering, did they hear what I heard? Did they hear the announcement? Did you hear what they said on the news about so-and-so? This is one of the main reasons that you and I, who are comfortably Christian, must come out of our comfort zone to make sure that everyone receives and understands this important announcement. Information that will provide total transformation for their lives and for the lives of their families and their friends. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, Mark records a very important announcement. They didn't have TVs. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have cell phone. They have all this technology. So when Mark wrote his gospel to the Christians in Rome, they were used to a herald coming before the person or the prominent one or the official showed up. That's how they made the announcement. They couldn't go by Daily News or Inquirer or Tribune to find out who was coming to town. They couldn't even dial in Fandango and see who was playing. But they had to hear the herald who would come before the person that was showing up. Not that Jesus needed this, but that's the way, that's what they were used to. Many times God will speak to you and what you're familiar with. That's why we have a parabolic Jesus who spoke in parables, who made the story or the illustration relative to the group that he was addressing so that they could get the spiritual understanding from a natural situation. But this announcement had two parts. It was primarily, John the Baptist announcing him, and then when Jesus got there, he made another announcement.
He updated the announcement.
Sometimes Brother Dennis will update the website.
So if you went on last week, you might say, I didn't see such and such on the,
but did you check again?
See, stuff is updated.
And we got to keep, we have to continue to hear the updates. But, you know, Mark wrote this thing and he wanted to present Jesus as the active Savior.
If you read the Gospel of Mark, straightway, immediately, you know, as soon as like Jesus came on the scene, demons coming out. Jesus doing all kinds. Mark said, I want to show those in Rome that serve all these other gods that there is only one God. And the God that I serve is yet able.
As we look at Mark 1:1-15, let us consider these 3 points. Number one, the herald, John the Baptist. The herald, John the Baptist. The official person, Jesus. Number one, the herald, John the Baptist. The official person, Jesus. And number three, the official person's message. What was Jesus' message? Number one, the herald, John the Baptist. Number two, the official or important person, Jesus. And number three, Jesus' message. And this wasn't new because this was already told in the Old Testament that what God was going to do. He's going to send someone before Christ to announce his arrival. So when we look at Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. My God. And this was prophesied, you know, you see it in Isaiah, you see it in Jeremiah, you see it in a lot of the Old Testament books, this promise of the Messiah and the forerunner of Christ, who is John the Baptist, who was, in fact, Jesus' cousin. But see, when you are doing ministry, it's not about your blood relationship on the earth, it's about your blood relationship in heaven. You got some folk, they can never get out of the night. You my cousin. No, let cuz do what cuz called to do. Look at verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. You know, folk look for a change. And even though they said John dressed weird, you know, John did not have on, you know, the stuff that they were wearing. You know, John did not go to Boyd's. But folk look for a change. And when they look for a change, they may go to the newest person that is around, but they want to listen to what you have to say. And if what you have to say makes sense, they may give you the opportunity to baptize them or the opportunity to teach them or you know, to partner with them or to encourage them. But John must have been saying something. And don't forget that John is considered the last of the Old Testament prophets because it was 400 silent years between Malachi and Matthew and they were waiting for a word from the Lord. They went out and saw him and John. They were confessing their sins. He baptized them in the Jordan. And look at verse 6. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. John wanted to be distinguished, and he didn't want to have to depend on anybody. So he, you know, this is what, that was his diet, and that was his dress, but he was different. Because there's somebody different getting ready to come. And John told him in St. John chapter 1, I am not the light, but I bear witness of the light. Now, you are a liar if you're going to bear witness of something or somebody that you don't even believe in yourself. Oh, my, my, my. John said, I'm not the light, but I'm bearing witness of the light. And they talk about how he was dressed, but you know what? Sometimes you get past the way the person dresses, the way they look, and what they eat for lunch and what they eat for dinner. Sometimes you got to hear what does say, the Lord, what comes out of their mouth. So many times we want to judge folks.
Look at people. Oh, they can't preach. Oh, they say, she can't sing. He can't sing. He can't do this. Oh, this is a big church. It must be successful. Oh, this is a small church. It must be unsuccessful. You can't judge by that. You got to get in there and try to spirit by the spirit.
Many people are fooled by size. Don't you know stuff that swell will burst?
My.
Look at verse 7. And he preached, saying, John was a preacher. And he preached, saying, as I said yesterday Sunday, when Yemi said, preacher, don't play with me. I did not get dressed on Sunday morning with my head aching, my kids not acting right, burned a hole in my blouse, got put a sweater on, it's 90 degrees out, to get to church to be entertained. I came for the word of the Lord. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand. See, I was on my way to do something to myself, and I came to hear the word of the Lord, and God gave the man of God or the woman of God the word of his of the Lord to give to me, to stop me from doing what the devil would. Oh my God, when you come to church, you ought to get a word that will encourage you, to stop you from destroying yourself, to know that there is yet hope. There is hope in spite of what you're going through, in spite of the job you just lost, in spite of them sending you letters about your house and about your electric and about your gas and about your water. There's still hope. Real hope. Not that artificial stuff. Real hope. And he preached, say, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. That's powerful. Jesus, you my cousin. But because you are the Messiah, the Savior of the world, I don't even feel worth. He just gives them reverence and gives them his due. A lot of folks don't give folks their due. But he's letting them know, I'm baptizing you, but I'm not getting my head all big. I shall be able to fit my hat if you buy me one. Because they didn't say he wore a hat. He said he wore, you know. I know. He might have, because from around that region. But he's explaining, I've got the privilege. I've been allowed to do this. I'm allowed to preach the gospel. I'm allowed to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm allowed to do this, but I'm not the one. Folk can make you think you're the one. You got to know your calling, know your focus, know your ministry, and know what you're doing, and know when to step the heck out of the way. You're not the one. It's the God in us that gives us the ability and the power to do the things that we need to do. I don't care how deep it is, how awesome it is, it's not us. And when we think it's us, that's when we lose what we have. Look at verse 8. He says, I indeed have baptized you with water. That's a visible, physical baptism. But he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is a spiritual baptism. John said, I'm doing the physical thing. But there's somebody coming greater than I am that's going to do the spiritual thing. Because they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is a spiritual journey. We just have a physical body. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So the herald John the Baptist, he had to come and announce Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming to save the world. Jesus is the Christ. And Mark 1, 2, and 3 is quoted from Malachi 3, 1 and Isaiah 40 and 3. But he is telling them, y'all better get ready. A change about to come. A change. You know, you like to do that. You like to tell folks sometimes a change is going to come. Or when we were little, you know, if one of our brother or sister did something bad, we like, ooh, when mommy and daddy get home, ooh, you going to get it. You know. And we talk about a shift in a lot of the churches, a lot of ministries. What John is saying, a shift is about to come. A change. Especially those that were around talking about, where's your Jesus? Didn't they promise you a Savior?
Where is he? Where did he go?
When he going to show up?
Don't look like much different to me. Rome is still in charge. Where's your Jesus?
So John the Baptist was a herald, and he had a message that there's one coming greater than I, but I've been given the privilege to preach the gospel, to baptize you, and to and there's one coming greater than I is going to baptize you with. I baptize you with. They're going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then this important person shows up.
But when he shows up, look what happened to him.
See, sometimes when you show up for ministry, be careful. Look at verse 9, Mark 1, 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth, a Galilee, was baptized with John in the Jordan. He showed up for duty. And straightway, coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, who I am well pleased."
Hallelujah. Wonderful ordination service. Powerful. God spoke himself. What was the ordination message? This is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. And the folks are standing at the basin, and they are clapping. But look at the next verse.
And immediately after the benediction, the Spirit driving Jesus into the wilderness. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You need preparation for ministry. You may have been called to do something, but you don't just jump into it. How many of you were born, find out your mama's womb and started walking and running around the house talking stuff? Oh, Lord, have mercy. No. You got to learn how to do that stuff. You have to learn. He was in the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. You got to have preparation for ministry.
You have to make sure that you're ready for the calling. Make sure that you're ready for the job.
And Luke 4 and Matthew 4 tell you more detail how he defeated the enemy with the word of God. With the word of God. If Jesus had to use the word of God to defeat the enemy, who do you think you are? You got to use the word of God. I'm not trying to make fun of folks. You can
have the word of God. And the blood, and I seen it work too. But those people had to be steeped in the word of God and had to have the blood of Jesus. Amen. For in order for anything to happen, you look at Jesus' ministry. When he cast out stuff, what did he say? Come out of him. He was cool. I always thought I would be cool like Jesus.
He just said, "Come out of him, please." No, not please, but just come out of him.
Matter of fact, when they saw him coming, like, what do I have to do with these? They recognize the enemy, the devil recognized Jesus. Some of them,
he's in the wilderness 40 days. So he shows up. But you're thinking if you announce to somebody important, they're going to show up. He said they're going to show up. They're going to say something, do their ministry. But before he could say anything and do his ministry, he was baptized. John said, I
can't baptize. He said, go ahead, baptize me. Somebody said, why would Jesus need to be baptized if he was a sinner? He was just trying to identify with us, tell us what we need to go through. I love an example. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything that is made today is made from some kind of prototype. Every car is made based on the Model T Ford or something. Come on. There's got to be something, an example that we can follow that shows us that we can be victorious. So he was in the flesh. He said, let me get baptized. I'm a human being, yet I'm divine. I'm not going to call him my deity. Matter of fact, that's what he did when he was tempted. He's trying to get him to call him his deity. No, I'm not going to call on my deity. I'm going to take this one like a man. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You got to use the word.
He could have called, but he didn't. Because he came to fulfill a mission. He came in Hebrews and said, God who spoke to us before the prophets has now sent his son.
He sent a representative just like him so that we could identify, and he wants us to know him.
But Jesus gets there and he gets baptized. Ain't nothing wrong with being baptized. But he came out of the water. There was an announcement from the Father. This is my beloved Son, whom I well please. So you got the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. You got the Trinity right there at the baptism. And no sooner at the baptism, the Spirit of God, not an evil spirit, you better read that right, the Spirit of God drove him to the wilderness.
That's right. Why you want somebody ain't never been tempted that you know of telling you you can get through this thing? Oh, Lord, have mercy.
And so what was Jesus' official message? He's a prominent person. He should have. What did he say? He says in verse 14, now after that, John was put in prison. That's in Matthew 14, 1 through 2. Because Herod, Philip's brother, took his wife. Herod was living with Philip's wife. And John said, you know, you cold-blooded, man.
You can have anybody you want. Why you take your homie's wife? Why you take your brother?
And he said, you are living in sin. So Herod got mad and put him in prison. And don't forget, Herodias, and they had that little banquet. He said, what will I give you to the half of the kingdom thereof? They all drunk and everything. And he got sober when they said, she said, give me the head of John the Baptist.
And they said, and chop this man's head off. But it let me know that you could be in ministry. And you can be in prison. And you could be in there doubting, wonder why Jesus showed up, why you still in prison.
But Jesus sent his disciples back to John. John type said, go tell them what you see. Don't tell them I'm here to set them free. Go tell them that you see the lame walk and the deaf can hear. And you've got to, ministry lets you know that once you do what you're called for, you got to be ready to go for the up and the down, the mountaintop and the valley. And Jesus wasn't just like mixing John, anything like that. That was part of the ministry. Lord have mercy. Ain't that something? We think it's all joy, jumping around, hallelujah, banquets and plaques. This is prison bars and doubt. But are you ready for the calling? See, don't look at the sweet part. Look at the bitter part of this whole thing. But Jesus came into Galilee. What was he doing? Preaching. Jesus is and was a preacher. Hallelujah. We forget about that. Jesus is. He came into Galilee doing what? Preaching. He was ready. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He hath anointed me to do. After that wilderness experience, he came into Galilee preaching. I'm here. He had an announcement. He said the gospel of the kingdom of God. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What is that? That means that now on earth there is, and you have a choice. You can go with the darkness or you can come with the light. The gospel of the kingdom of God is God's rule on earth. Even though that darkness still exists, you got a choice. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's why they're so mad. That's why they tried to kill him when he was a baby. They tried to stop him from going to the cross. Tried to stop him in the Garden of Gethsemane because the devil knew. If Jesus opened his mouth. That's why sometimes, you know, when you get ready to do something for the Lord, the enemy will mess you up. Get you a flat tire. Your throat gets sore. You get to trembling because you don't want that word to come out. The enemy said, if I could just stop them from giving that word. If I can just distract them, that's why you got to know how to deal with distractions. When you get distracted, don't pick up the phone and say, I can't make it. Say, I've been distracted for a moment. I'm on my way. I might be 30 minutes late, but God put this on my heart. God asked me to do this, and I'm going to do what God. So sometimes part of the assignment is a distraction. But sometimes when we're distracted, you know how much you've grown. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Anybody can come on the church when it's easy. How about when you really don't feel like it? How about when you really, your body ache with pain and God promised to heal you and it hasn't been delivered yet? And you pressing your way. And then you get out there and then there's all this traffic. And you're thinking to yourself, on your right side, I should have stayed home. Your left side said, no, press on. And you get there, you have a glorious time. You walk up in the sanctuary. Not only are they singing your song, but you got a word from the Lord. All of a sudden, you begin to feel better as though the ancient healing has started in your body. I wish I had a witness. We need to start coming with the arms folded to see if they can move me and come to be moved. This is not no tug of war. See, this pastor can't move me today. I ain't come with that thought. I come with thus saith the Lord. Move or stand still. The word going to go forth. But you are jipping yourself if you don't come and engage in the word of God. I'm like, John, don't look at what I got on. Listen to what I got to say. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Jesus comes and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And look what he says. He made an announcement about the gospel of the kingdom of God. He said, look, the kingdom of God is here. Then he says, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That is so powerful. Did you hear the announcement? He came preaching the kingdom of God. He said, the time is fulfilled. Which means in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time. God said, it's time. It was time for me to do my thing. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. It is approachable. It is reachable. It is achievable. It can be yours if you want it. But you got to repent and believe the gospel. There's no salvation without the kingdom of God. And the only way to get to the kingdom is through Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You should want to be more than saved. You want to be saved and a citizen of the kingdom. Preaching the gospel. That, I said, wow. Jesus had about 3 points too. Number one, the time is fulfilled. Number two, the kingdom of God is at hand. Number three, repent ye and believe the gospel. That's powerful. That's a powerful message. That's what you call a one-minute sermon. The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And I said, wow, Jesus, he said, you might as well say, I'm here. But he said, more than I'm here. I'm here. I'm fulfilling time. I am the representative of the kingdom of God. And all I need is repent and believe the gospel. Wow. John preached one message. Then Jesus preached. That was like a tag team match. John paved the way. Jesus made the way. Yeah, ain't that all right? Yeah. Somebody made a way for you so you can get through. Yeah. But then somebody was waiting to give you what you needed. That showed that John was telling the truth. He wasn't preaching nonsense. There cometh one mightier than I. You think this something? You think this baptism service in the Jordan is something? Wait till Jesus get a hold of you and baptize you spiritually. Wait till you really become born again and become a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's what John was saying. He said, it's good. I got somebody coming after me. Hallelujah. And see, when you know what you're talking about and you don't mind you giving deference to Jesus or whatever, you won't mind telling the truth. I'm not the one. When Pastor Jesus comes, Pastor John got to get out the way. What did he say? Let me decrease. When you minister to folks, sometimes you need to decrease and let them feel the presence of God. I prayed for you. I That's water baptism. You all in the way. They trying to get to Jesus. You wasn't prepared the way, but you all up in the way. Trying to get recognition. If you need recognition, go somewhere else and get your recognition. Get out of God's way. Let God do what God needs to do in somebody's life. If you got to be noticed, you might not be time for you for ministry. You got to be noticed. If you need to be noticed, your name needs to be called all the time, and you need to be made, you know, everybody got to make a whole lot of fuss over you because you did what you supposed to do, showed up for church. You raise your hand to do something, you come and do it, and you want somebody to... You said you're going to do it. I'm so shocked you did it. I took you at your word. But Jesus preaches and said, look here, I come to let you know the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Did you hear the announcement? Did you hear and understand the announcement? Why would I answer this question? Because you know what? When I look around, when I walk around, some folk ain't get the announcement. Well, how do you know pastor ain't get the announcement? Because the way they look, the way they live, what they talk about, they all messed up. They ain't got no Jesus, no salvation. They're not kingdom citizens. They trying to make it. They working 14 jobs trying to make ends meet. They ain't got no money, ain't got no joy, ain't got no peace, no understanding. Their family all messed up. Their marriage all messed up. Their life all messed up. They did not get the announcement. And I'm not talking about saved folks that's going through stuff. I'm talking about folks that didn't hear the announcement, didn't understand the announcement. They never understood the time is fulfilled. They never understood that the kingdom of God is at hand. They never understood they needed to repent and receive the gospel. And some of us, we in the way. We are enablers. We get all in the way. By the time they get ready to come to church, you got all of them. Now, I'll fix you. I'll buy your food. I'll buy your clothes. There comes a time you need to teach folk how to fish for themselves. You know what? Stop taking them to CDs. Let them come. Jesus. If they can make it to church, if you can make it to church, why take them to CD? Let them get up off there. Bring them to something to come to church. CD time is over. You've been taking somebody's CD for 15 years, and they're not even in jail. They're not in bondage. You put them in bondage. Right? I ain't got to go, but I sure love to hear the preacher coming out of your church. If you like to preach, you ought to come get the stuff before. Come get the appetizers that come before the entree. You can't get that from the CD. You can't get the presence and power of God. You can't feel the presence of God from a CD. You might have evidence in your ear, but when you are in the atmosphere, what CD you going to listen to? And the Spirit of God, you going to feel God's hand touching you. Not saying that it can't happen, but why he's moving in this place. So I'm getting you a secondhand service. If you got to get it, that's fine. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But invite people to come out for themselves. Let them get it for themselves. And if they have a problem with that, say, well, I'll tell you what. When it's dinner time, let me eat your steak for you, see if you get it. You depend on me so much. Forget the word. Let me eat your filet mignon. And I'll just sit around and walk around your house and see if you get it. And I'm wrong with that ministry. I'm not saying don't do it, but you got to challenge folks sometimes. You need to look in the mirror and say, you know, if I can get up every Sunday and get myself together and get my kids together and make it a church, they don't have no kids. Doing what they want to do on Saturday night. I come back. They ain't got nothing cooked for me. They come out there with their robe on to get the CD. Tyler's church. I'm saying just be careful that you don't stop folk from coming to church. It's a way to minister to folks. Jesus ministered. He said, he told the fishermen, I will make you fishers of men. And they had lucrative businesses. They had to make a choice. As a matter of fact, the study shows that this was a family business. And they said, Mark said, immediately, when you read verses 16 and going on, immediately they gave up their fishing nets and followed Jesus. He said, see, it's what folks say. I'll make you fishers of men. Not fishermen. But did you hear the announcement? How do you know some folks didn't hear? That's why we need to evangelize. That's why you and I need to be witnesses. That's why our lights got to be on. That's why we can't play church. Because somebody didn't hear the announcement or ignored the announcement or didn't understand the announcement. There's somebody living somewhere outside the church who really ought to be in the church, ought to be a citizen of the kingdom, ought to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But for some reason, they're not getting the announcement. Well, suppose you live in a spot where you can't say anything. Well, how about if you display something? How about if they see the way you walk? How they see how you handle things? How they see you getting in your car? How they see you worshiping the Lord in your house? How about if they see how you handle situations in the neighborhood? Lord, have mercy. Oh my God, somebody needs to hear the announcement. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They got to go for themselves. Sure, I'll pray for you, but guess what? God needs to know you. He needs to know you for yourself. I can call your name, but God wants to hear your voice. Say yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your will. Ain't nothing wrong with folk praying for you. But does God know you? Is your name cataloged in the book of life? Did you hear the announcement? Did you make a move? When the invitation was extended, what did you do? Oh, I don't like that church. Oh, that pastor, he shout too much for me, too loud. He crazy too. Don't let the devil mess you up. When we send the invitation, guess what? You don't have to join here. You need to join the church. Just get saved here. Don't leave here lost. Stop playing the enemy's game. The enemy's got you. He put his fingers in your ears when the announcement came so you wouldn't hear it. Then he baffled your mind so you wouldn't understand it. You deserve to have joy. You deserve to have peace. You deserve to have a better life. But guess what? If you want to choose the other things that you're not going to, if you can't have them both, then we need to make a decision. It's going to be Jesus or not. Ain't there no half Jesus. Ain't no 75% Jesus. He ain't no mixed drink. Oh. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. And that's how you become a citizen of the kingdom. Amen. Did you hear the announcement? Why would you ask me something like that, Pastor? Because you ain't walking right. You ain't talking right. You're not living right. Folks don't want to be called out. They come in, pray for me. For what? What happened? You serious yet? Don't make folks waste their prayers. You ain't even serious yet. Tell the truth. Oh, pray. God, give me a house. No. Pray that you get your house in order with God. There's two houses going on here, you know. It's not that we shouldn't pray for folk, but people need to know. Amen. You need to understand the kingdom of God is at hand. Stop destroying yourself. Stop blaming stuff on the devil. Yeah, I was. People say I was saved. What is that? How can you was saved? I don't understand that. I was saved, but the church made me mad. I was saved. The church made you mad. Now you unsaved? Well, I come to let somebody know that your salvation has nothing to do with me, the church, or any other church. Your salvation is based on a man named Jesus, who came down through 40 and two generations and died the cruel death of the cross. But early Easter Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Hallelujah. Your salvation is between you and Jesus. And I don't think that Jesus came just to hang up for your hang up and not to get you to know that he loves you, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's time for somebody to make a decision. Did you hear the announcement? Did you hear what Mark said? There's somebody coming greater than I, and that somebody has already come. He's already, matter of fact, you wait for him to come back. Don't wait for him to come back, because when he come back, he's not coming back as a savior. He's coming back to set up his kingdom. He's coming back as king. So you got to get your throne together today. You got to get your throne together right now. Hallelujah. You need to make a decision today. Where you going to spend eternity? Where you going to spend the rest of your life? Your money can't get you into heaven. Your status can't get you into heaven. Your intelligence can't get you into heaven. Your degrees can't get you into heaven. Your pretty looks and your handsome style can't get you into heaven. How are you going to get to eternity if you don't come through Jesus? There is no other way. We sang that song. There is no way. Where's your eternal life? You have an entitlement to eternal life. And you got the enemy just doing whatever the enemy want to do in your life. What makes you think that the enemy deserved that much rule over your life? My God. Yeah, we put 50 locks on our doors and an alarm system. At night, you turn the alarm on, you forgot the 49th lock. We want to keep all this stuff out of our house, but it's already in. Why lock the barn door after all the ambulances are gone? Lord have mercy. Some of us have just totally disregarded God's announcement. And we locked the barn door. And the enemy's already inside with us. I remember Jake preached a message sometime. Said, I looked in the mirror and I found the enemy. It is me. Anybody good at blaming other folk for your stuff? Or going back in your life like God can't handle the stuff that happened to you in your life? Not saying it is easy, not trying to make little of it. Some of us have some tragic experiences, but God can handle that too. But if you always want to keep on using that crutch as a why I can't, why I won't, I would come to church, I would join the church, but this preaching messed over me. Did all the preachers mess over you? What did God say? See, we got to get this stuff together. Stop carrying around stuff that ought to be in a trash bag tied up and ready for trash day. And get your deliverance, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let us all stand. The announcement is this. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe and receive the gospel. Receive your salvation. If there's anyone here that wants to accept Jesus Christ,